Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to Red Sky Radio. Formerly, now, Robin Walter's show. We have to change a few things around, but we're going to get things implemented here. We have made a change, considering some different ways to go about different things, always trying to improve some things, but I do want to let you know that Robin Walter Show, formerly Red Sky Radio, is available now on podcasting from Spotify, from Apple. Last week we didn't have Google up, but now Google is in place for as long as I can stay on that without getting kicked off. A host of others. We are queuing up to be on rumble.com. I think that is almost done. If you want to reach me, you can get me either two ways, info@redskyradio.net, which is really the entity, and the program itself is the Robin Walter Show. But you can get me at the Robin Walter Show at Gmail or info@redskyradio.net. Those of you who are contributors, new or regular, you can continue to contribute to Red Sky Radio. That is the, like I said, that is the entity, and the program is Robin Walter's show. So hope that's clear. This is a sad week. I've got a little bit of good news, but very little. This is a week I have gone through all the stages of rage, anger. Does Scripture not say, be angry and sin not? What has happened to our soldiers in Afghanistan? The avoidability of all of this? The nonsense of a junior high, no, it's not even junior high, quality administration? Was John Adams right when he said, you get the governments you deserve? Probably so. But I have promised to begin with good news. I try to end with good news. But today's bit of good news, I'm just going to step aside. This program is going to be devoted to what is going on over in Afghanistan and this country as a whole, and it's the Gospel and Foreign Policy Part 2. Last week was the Gospel and Foreign Policy Part 1, which you really, if you didn't hear it, you need to hear it. Because now you can get past episodes, certainly on Apple, I know, and I think on Spotify as well, as well as the website. The website, we archive a few programs, but it's just a lot easier if you're listening on a smartphone or something to go to the podcast stage. That's kind of where things are. But the little bit of good news I had last week, I told you about Gab News, G-A-B News. And it's a site that has come up. It's a social media site, which I'm not on social media, don't have any intention of it. But this site is doing some good things. And one of the things it's doing, it is beginning a job posting board to list all of the companies, well, all the companies that they know of anyway, and that would want themselves listed, that would not mandate the jab, the shot. No, you don't have to do that. These are the companies that are saying, no, you don't have to do that to work for us. And maybe preferably, you don't get it. Now, because I have shared with you several firsthand experiences with people that I know personally. In each case, each of two cases in particular, it's a first cousin that died very shortly after the shot. This week, in the last 4 days, I've talked with a client whose father-in-law died within a week after getting the second Moderna shot. Then I talked with another person, a client, whose father died, not father-in-law, but father, who was a client of mine, who died, but I only just now find out that he died in his sleep. He was in flawless health, died in his sleep 48 hours after the second shot. People are dying. People are getting hospitalized. Jesse Jackson and his wife. I mean, I'm sort of glad high-profile people are getting COVID that have had the double jab or the single jab. I mean, even the Pfizer CEO has come out and said, we're not too far from a variant that will be totally resistant to what we got and what anybody else has got. Pfizer, the company that itself will not mandate that its employees take the shot because it's down to, what, 42% efficacy? In 6 months, only 42% of the time is it working, and maybe it's not working that much because the rate is declining. I'm going to finish here with a couple of stupidity issues on the COVID thing, and then we're going to get to the topic at hand. This is how nuts it has been and is getting. In Australia the other day, the authorities shot and killed 15 dogs, 10 of them puppies. Why did they shoot all 15 dogs? Because the dogs, as cute as they were, because they were in the pound, they were adoptable, they wanted to deter interested and volunteer parties from coming to the pound who might have COVID. Why? What? To spread it to the dogs? So they were killing the dogs because they were an attraction to people who might be infected. Well, my gosh, why don't you just execute the whole kindergarten class and you won't have the mothers having to go outside and spread COVID while they're coming to pick up their children? I realize that's ridiculous, and obviously I'm not suggesting. This is how stupid this whole thing has become. Or in Temecula, California, almost lived there, made an offer on a house a long time ago, wasn't accepted. But in Temecula, at a charter school, which is supposed to have more freedom, the two boys that showed up without masks, they thought they had a religious exemption. And what does California do? They haul out a SWAT team, armed. This is not the United States anymore. Not the one I grew up in. We're going down a rat hole at an incredible rate. So that's it. That's all I'm going to cover for today on the whole. I had a whole COVID program, part three, planned. It's been trumped, obviously, by what's going on in Afghanistan. Last week, we covered the gospel and foreign policy, which I am going to recap very briefly. Very briefly. That's part one. Then we're going to get into part two. Part one was based on a scriptural passage that says, don't meddle in somebody else's affairs. It's like picking a dog up by the ears. You're holding the dog. The dog is ticked off. He hurts. He's in pain. He's angry because he wants to bite you for hurting him. So if you let him down, he bites you. But so you can't let him down. So you continued to be stuck holding his ears. You're stuck. And I cover the passages out of Deuteronomy where God says, don't meddle here. It's not your land. Don't meddle over there. It belongs to the Moabites. I didn't give you that land. We've meddled in Vietnam. We've meddled in Afghanistan. We've meddled, I could say, arguably in Korea and other places we have no business being. And I was stunned this week. What little news I watched on TV, from an interview of Newt Gingrich to a couple of others. And what do they say? They don't cite the scriptural passage. They just say, why are we hanging around in these other countries so long in something that really doesn't pertain to us? Duh. Just follow one biblical verse and you have dealt adequately, if not superbly, with establishing proper foreign policy for the United States. So we get bogged down in these wars, billions of dollars we spend, and all we do is upset people. Now, before I move off from this to the point number two, and this is kind of a segue point, I guess you could call it point number two and the next one number three, How did righteous men in the Bible decide what they were going to get involved with? Did they never get involved? No, we know that. They didn't meddle in affairs that were not of their own, didn't have anything to do with them, but how did they know when to engage? All you have to do is look at David and maybe Jehoshaphat and a few other righteous kings, not the losers, but the righteous kings in Israel. And what did they do? They went to God. How many times did David say, Lord, shall I go up? Will you deliver these people into my hand? So David was sensing the need to engage. And invariably, it seems like God said, yes, go up, David. I've given them into your hands. But he went to the Lord first to see if he should go into battle. When have we had that happen? You know, I mean, this, and with Jehoshaphat and with some others, there were variations on that theme, but they didn't move forward without a signal from God, whether it came directly from the Lord or through a prophet or something of that sort, that they're supposed to take these people out. And God's orders were typically pretty comprehensive. Kill everybody. The children on up. I'm not going to get into why he did that. There's a specific reason, because that's not the purpose here of this program. That's not the foreign policy. But just talking about, when do we engage overseas or on this continent? How do you know? Does anybody pray about when to get involved? And then there are the times in the book of Judges in particular. You know, the Lord instructed Gideon how to do it, but the Lord was actively involved. In the case of Jehoshaphat, he went to battle, but he put the praise band out front as instructed by the Lord. So the fact of the matter is, if you're not going to consult God, you're going to end up with a lot of disasters. You might luck out and get a few of them right. And we don't know what presidents have in fact prayed. None of them seem to talk about it. So you've already embarked on a shaky course, and people will say you can't mix politics and religion. Why not? First of all, you can't separate them. Why would you want to separate yourself from godly counsel? Why would you not want to hear what God has to say? You think it's more important to separate God and keep religion out of it and march off to disaster like this country has time and time again? Okay, part two of the gospel and foreign policy. Part one dealt with the mistakes overseas. And we just touched on kind of transitioning to part number two. How do you know when to go overseas? Because we didn't get to that last week. This deals with the mistakes, or maybe better put, the sins at home. This, the second part of a good foreign policy, does not deal with what we're doing overseas. It deals with what we are doing at home. I want to draw your attention to one passage here real quickly coming out of Deuteronomy. I didn't get to it last week, but chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, it says, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as the law that I have given you, which I set before you this day? But take heed to yourself. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. We, alone with Israel, are the only nation in the history of the world who are given great statutes and judgments. This country is founded on the Bible and biblical precepts and principles. Have we heeded it diligently? No. Have we taught it to our sons? No. How about our sons' sons? No longer. We're reaping what we have sown. Keep this passage in mind as the foundation for why we as a country, which have been given so much, would now be held accountable for sinning so greatly. It affects our foreign policy and is rooted at home. Don't go away. We have so much more. Rob Walter with Rob and Walter Show. Be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land.
We are back. This is Robin Walter Show. We are back to discussing foreign policy, the gospel and foreign policy, part two. First part dealt with mistakes overseas, poor judgment, not knowing when to get into a war, getting entangled in another person's affairs. We can't extract ourselves. We just walk in utterly humiliating defeat, the worst kind, at the hands of Joe. No brains. I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. What a disaster. What an ignoramus. Surrounded by ignorami. I think that's the plural for ignoramus, isn't it? Walk in a multitude, safety in a multitude of counselors, but if you got lousy counselors, it's no safety. In 1 Kings chapter 11, this is how God deals with a country that has sinned. Invariably, this is what God does. If you look in 1 Kings chapter 11, we have Israel, Judah in particular, who knew the statutes, had the ordinances, fist in the face of God, decided they're going to sin. Did they have 70 million aborted babies? No, but there were children being offered up to Molech. Did they have the sodomites in the land, the queers doing this and the queers doing that? Yeah, they did, and they didn't do anything about it. They had idolatry that was connected with that sexual debauchery. Everything that the nations that God threw out, his people started doing. And what does he do? This is very interesting. And I'm only giving this as an example, and it's an example of many occasions that this occurs, because in 1 Kings 11 it says that because of the sins, verse 14, the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon called Hadad, the Edomite of the kingdom of Edom. A dozen verses later or so, says, and then God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, R-E-Z-O-N, the son of Eliadai, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. You see, God uses, in virtually every case, foreigners to judge his disobedient people. So we got Ocasio-Cortez claiming that we need to import to pay for the damage we've done in Afghanistan. We have to import at least 200,000 Afghans, and the left wing nuts in Hollywood and other places are calling for 1.2 million Afghans must be imported. In other words, just start the jihadist train. Are we vetting these people? Of course not. We are so stupid, we are so deceived, we are so gone and lost. How many jihadists are faking it to be refugees? And where does Joe, no brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden, send them? He's sending them wherever his left-wing nuts are telling him to send them. And where are they going? Primarily to the Midwest. Because those are the only states that still vote Republican. So take a clue from this. This is how a nation gets judged from within. The people come from without. One way or the other, a direct attack or the important. I don't even know why we have to fly the Afghans to Missouri. Just fly them to Mexico. Let them cross the border on their own. Nobody's watching that fence. Okay, so let's get down to another Bible passage that this struck me this week. You know, as I study the Word and have over a number of years, you've got Bible passages that mean something very specific. You receive it in that capacity, and then every now and then there's a passage which you know well, but now the meaning has broadened, and it includes something else. And the passage that states that when a man's ways please the Lord, he will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So what I'd like to do, I would like to flip this verse to find out what would be the meaning of the converse. In other words, we're going to take this verse and put it in reverse to get the converse. All right? So, sort of like that passage in, I think, 2nd or 3rd John, where it says, there's no greater joy that a man has than to see his children walk in the truth or in the light. Well, what's the converse of that verse? That is that there's no greater despair, no greater grief, no greater anxiety, no greater disappointment and anguish than to see your children not walk in the truth. And we know that to be true. I've done, I don't know, 500, 1,000 plus estate plans, and there's nothing I hear more than a mother, a dad, or a couple grieving over the direction of their children. They say, I'd like nothing more than the kids to get straightened up. That'd be the end of a good life if they would walk straight. So we can look at some things in Scripture, and we can draw a truth from the opposite, because the truth is compelled by flipping the verse, and you can draw a conclusion. So, since I beat that to death, when your ways or man's ways please the Lord, he will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, this is something that Donald Trump did. Was he a Christian? I don't know where. I hope so. If he was, does he execute that role flawlessly? No, none of us did. None of us have, and none of us do. But he did things that pleased God. Most notably, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital and the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. We've had no president since Harry Truman that's blessed the nation of Israel more than Donald Trump. And what does it say? That if you bless Israel, God will bless you. And what did it cause to be done? Even though so many countries hate the Jews, notwithstanding that, Donald Trump's blessing of the nation of Israel caused him to earn the admiration, respect, and in some cases fear of other countries in the Middle East who hate some of the other countries in the Middle East more than they hate the Jews. So the Taliban, they are what? They are... they're not Shiites, they're the Sunnis, if I'm not mistaken. They went around and start busting up and breaking and destroying the Shiite statues. This is Muslim hating Muslim. They weren't killing Jews, they weren't after Americans. They started with destroying other Muslim statues of that sect of Islam, which they vehemently disagree. Donald Trump pleasing God, blessing Israel, his ways, pleasing the Lord. And for a second, set aside his spiritual state. But he pleased the Lord in what he was doing. God put in his heart to do that. Earned the respect of countries all over the world, not just the Middle East, but all of Europe too. Even after telling the Europeans, hey, we have covered your tail long enough. We have paid your dues. Pay up. Start paying into NATO. We're sick and tired of covering for you so you can throw out the money you're not spending on defense on your stupid social programs. We're not the savior of the world. Trump recognized that. In his foreign policy, Donald Trump was distinctly libertarian, a view to which I hold strongly, in at least in the capacity of foreign policy issues. So, let's take this reverse and flip it and see where we are today. So if when your ways please the Lord, he will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you, then the converse of that verse would be, the reverse would be, when your ways don't please the Lord, he will cause even your friends to not be at peace with you. That is the flip side of that passage. How do we know it's true? Well, first of all, I can draw that conclusion from the word, but what has happened here? Joe Brainless, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. Goodness sakes, I mean, the guy's a goner. He's been a goner for a long time. But who do we have hating us now? The French, the Germans, the English, Nigel Farage, the leader of Brexit. He said, how could we ever trust the United States again? How can we trust you? You have left us hanging out to dry. You have abandoned us. You didn't consult us. Why should we trust you? I mean, he did everything but call Joe Biden a jackass, which, of course, he is. I say that because it's true, not because I'm name-calling him. But it's a name-call, and that's true. We have lost our friends because our ways don't please the Lord. And you might ask, well, how, pray tell, do our ways not please the Lord? Well, how about 70 million abortions, which Joe loves? How about queer this, queer that, tranny this, tranny that, which is an abomination? God calls, you know, male who sleeps with another male as he would with a woman. It's an abomination, according to Leviticus. The president who wants to strip us of our ability to defend ourselves, which Jesus firmly established in the New Testament, wants to divorce this country from all biblical roots, claiming he's a Catholic, but he basically pukes on anything righteous coming out of Catholic doctrine, increasing the government. He unleashes government agencies on conservatives. He's compromised our national security, open borders. God mentions borders, folks, 168 times. Borders are important to God. He sets the nations and the borders of the nations where he will. But Joe opens them up and ends them. He betrays Israel. He's no friend of Israel. He's a big fan of government education, which is out to squeeze out the gospel and Christian education. What has he ever done to please God? Nothing. Other than that, he's the stooge of the hour that God has given us as retribution and punishment for all the sins that I just listed, and I just got started. So Joe Biden is a distinct enemy of God. There's no question about it. Used of God as a tool of punishment, just like Rezin was, and just like the others that God brings in to judge Israel, who then God ends up judging them. Because they aren't righteous, but God will use unrighteous people to judge those who were righteous, supposedly righteous, who have embarked upon an unrighteous path. And then he'll deal with those parties that he's used as his tool. So we got our enemies. Our ways don't please the Lord, so he's caused even our enemies to not be at peace with us. Through the stupidity, foolhardy, lame-brained, numbskullion, nitwit, nimrodish, fifth-grade, and I'm being kind to Biden, fifth-grade attitude towards how do you conduct a war or an exit. It's just unbelievable. But this is where we are. He's a goner. I mean, I don't know why the 25th Amendment doesn't pop up. Amazing. You know what? they wanted to pull out the 25th Amendment on Donald Trump because he slipped on a wet runway or he said this or that, and we got the lunatics running the asylum, but they won't pull out the 25th Amendment for old Joe and have him yanked because he is a dunce. He's the ultimate and consummate empty suit. And it's brought me to the position that some others very close to me, which they would not want me to name them, so I won't, but Laura Logan on TV has said this whole Afghan thing, even the deaths, these are people running the government that want the destruction of the United States. How could you want 1.2 million Afghani Muslims, most of them or some of them certainly jihadists imported, if you didn't want this country destroyed? Our problem is not the enemy without. The problem is the enemy within and the enemy that we want imported to be within. So let me just posit something here. Let's suppose we got a million Afghanis coming into this country. What would we need to do? We need to go to those Afghan communities, which will be, some of them will be jihadist. We'll have to deal with them. Get guns, get ammo. You have to defend yourself because we will be at civil war. It's not an if, it's a matter of when. But to those that can be influenced, we would use the Islamic faith to a limited extent to turn them against the left. You say, that's nuts. No, it's not nuts. A limited extent. Here's what we would say to them. You go to the Afghanis, you say, do you know that Joe Biden and the Democrats abort children, contrary to what is believed in Islam? Massive abortion of your children. Do you know that Joe Biden loves queer marriage and guys having sex with guys and incest and all of this kind of stuff and pedophilia and men dressing up like women, which is clearly prohibited? God says it's an abomination in the book of Deuteronomy, which most of Islam covers and follows. We point out to the Muslims how anti-Muslim the Democrats are. Now, this is not a turn to the God of Islam. I don't even use the name on the air. But it's pointing out to them how diametrically opposed the Democrats are to what Islam teaches at its societal level. How about that idea? And then now you got all the Afghanis voting Republican. Many Republicans, of course, which are losers, which brings us to the next point. If there was something that would describe our government today, and I mean, first of all the Democrats, but sadly, an increasing batch of feckless cojones called rhinos, Republican in name only, don't have the guts. They don't have a pair. And what would describe, you know what, the left loves to say, and I'm so sick and it's nauseating, systemic racism. Well, systemic racism, as we covered a couple of weeks ago, is when you got teachers that want to divide classes now between black and white, supposedly giving the blacks a leg up by teaching down. How do you get a leg up by teaching down? I don't know. But that's a Democrat idea. Our problem at the governmental level is not systemic racism. It is systemic dishonesty. It is systemic hypocrisy. It is systemic godlessness. It is systemic Christophobia. It is systemic bibliophobia. Our government has become everything a government should not be. It's there to what? Build roads and defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, now the enemies, deemed domestic enemies, are those who actually love Jesus, and we see this all the time. So while we got soldiers being killed in Afghanistan, what is Nancy How could people be so brainless as Nancy Pelosi? What does she do? On the day of the death of execution, if you will, of 13 soldiers and probably 100 more civilians, government workers, and maybe Americans, they just aren't soldiers. We don't know yet. What does she do? This airhead is out celebrating Women's Equality Day. That's what the left does. They take a big... No, I can't say it that way. They perform their evil and then look away at from the evil that they have perpetrated. If they ever talk about it, they'll blame it on somebody who's better than they, like Donald Trump. Well, the Afghan problem was all Donald Trump's. He wanted to be... No. The plan Donald Trump had was not the plan Joe No Brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden implemented. In fact, he didn't have a plan. That's part of it. And he didn't carry out the contingencies that Donald Trump had said, this is what when we'll leave if these things happen. No, Joe Biden just got his brains twisted in his underwear and decided, let's just pull them out. Who cares how many die? And that has even come out of some left-wing regressive, they're not progressives, they're regressive pundits who said, so what's a few lives to get this thing straightened out? Well, I guess it's nothing if it's not your husband or your son or your dad, because I think all of them that were killed were men, as far as we know. Maybe not. We'll find out soon enough. What's a few of them? Goodness sakes. So she's out celebrating Women's Equality Day, which is just a day to celebrate the further stripping of any distinction between men and women. Nancy Pelosi is an abomination to God. Nancy, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If a bullet entered Nancy Pelosi's head, her left ear, and I'm not suggesting that somebody shoot her. This is an analogy. If a bullet entered Nancy Pelosi's left ear, it would emerge from her right ear without any material reduction in velocity. Why? Because it's passing through a frictionless airspace, better known as a vacuum, because there's nothing there. The consummate airhead. You know, she should just get together with Joe Biden and they could exchange, duh, what do you have to say? Duh, what do you have to say? Well, duh. You know, I was so angry yesterday, so frustrated. I pulled out my shirt, which I don't wear all the time. I pick and choose where I wear it. Yesterday, I didn't care where I wore it. I wore my personally, originally designed by me shirt that is printed one and only one place in the whole world. And I can get that store's name to you. I think they'd take orders because I ordered two of them. I designed it. T-shirt that says, generally speaking, Democrats suck. Now, last night, after wearing it through the day, getting thumbs up, nobody dares to challenge that. Even the Democrats know how stupid they are now. The only person more stupid than Joe Biden are the people that voted for him. Sorry, if you're listening to this program, you voted for Joe Biden, you're stupid. Or at least abysmally ignorant. And you need to repent before God. But last night, I look in the refrigerator. I see we're out of milk. We got a half a cherry pie. I can't eat cherry pie without milk. So I head off to the store in my generally speaking Democrats suck t-shirt. I am at the store about 2 minutes. That's all I'm ever at the store. Sorry, I'm a guy. We go in, we shoot it, we bag it, we drag it out. We're out of there. I went, I got my milk. In that 2 minutes, I was confronted by four people. The first guy said, love your shirt, but it's not generally speaking Democrats suck. It's specifically speaking. He objected to my use of the word generally because he just said they all suck all the time. And within the next minute and 30 seconds, three other men approached me, said, I love this t-shirt. This could not be more appropriate on this day of infamy when the United States surrendered to a batch of third world renegades. The United States, allegedly the most powerful country in the world, surrenders to a tribal clan. That's where we are. Well, we mentioned to you before, how many of these Afghanis coming in here have been vetted? None. The left doesn't want them vetted. Biden doesn't know how to spell vetting and doesn't know what it means. And nobody's going to tell them how will they vote. Like I said, there's a possibility we could turn them into conservatives. And do they appreciate Joe for presiding over the most disastrous, worst historical event from a military standpoint in U.S. history? I'm going to say, even though they've been rescued, and they might appreciate Joe for that, they will have to fault him for the damage and the deaths to their fellow citizens in their beloved country. So what it might be like are the Cubans who got out of Cuba, and even though the Bay of Pigs thing was a fiasco, they end up faulting not the Republicans, but the Democrats, and they become diligent conservatives in Florida, those Cubans. God love them. Maybe that'll happen here. But in that mix, know that out of 100, 200, 300,000 Afghans, there's going to be a whole bunch of jihadists who will say, this is my chance, I'll fake it as a refugee. We'll start our terror cells, we'll start bombing stuff, and we won't have the cojones as a country to call it for what it is. So that's why you have to have guns and ammo, because you'll have to defend yourself. So I ask this question. Is there anybody out there really and truly thrilled about the disaster called Joe Biden? Yes. That person is Barack Obama. The reason B.O. loves J.B. is because now Barack Hussein Obama is no longer the worst modern-day American president. He had that ignoble designation up until probably a couple of months ago, but certainly within the last 48 hours. He's no longer at the bottom of the list. Joe Biden is. So people say, well, do you pray for him? Yes, I do pray. One of the portions of that prayer is 2 Thessalonians 3:2, which says to pray that we would be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. And of course, since women today want to be included in everything that men are included in, we'll include women in the interpretation of that verse. To be delivered from the wicked and unreasonable women as well, the Jezebels of the world. And it says in Scripture that when the wicked die, the righteous people shout for joy. Not because they're in hell, but because they've been delivered from the oppression. So maybe the best kind of social distancing from these left wing nuts isn't to, if they're 6 feet apart. Maybe for some of them, it's if they were 6 feet under. This is not a call to execution. It's just a statement that if God takes them out, I will not lament their departure. Rob Walter, don't go away. We'll be right back with Robin Walter Show.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, We pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
It's Rob Walter. We are back to Robin Walter Show here. We are going to change a solicitation. One of the challenges is my wife does that solicitation, does a nice job. I have to rewrite it, but most of all, I am in negotiations with her as to whether she will do that and for how much. No, I'm kidding. But I did want to say, if you're contributing, it's the Robin Walter Show. The check is the entity. The entity which has the program is Red Sky Radio, to which you would still send a check. And we thank you greatly. We live off from contributions and my paycheck. The contributions don't cover the cost of airtime. I supplement it. I go to work. I'm not retired because I continue to fund this program. It is my mission. It is my purpose. It's not a complaint. I'm just letting you know how it is. And that will never change. If we lost all our support, I would just designate more of my IRA and my savings to getting this program out. And I also would like to say that I am opening up my schedule. I have cut some things out of my schedule and my life to be able to travel and to speak where somebody would want to hear something along this line. Maybe a church, it may not. It's a little rough for most churches, but most churches could use it. But it doesn't have to be a church environment by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, so getting back to our biggest foreign policy part two problem is the sin within. And I'm just going to draw your attention here quickly, because I am running out of time, to the book of Judges. And in chapters 3, and then again in chapter 4, and then again in chapter 10, there's something interesting that the Lord says. That because of their sin, and they knew better, I'll just read one of them, but you'll get the idea. From chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan." Okay, I mean, well, you know, I think I got to go back to chapter 3 here. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim. I know it's easy for you to say, huh? King of Mesopotamia. Chapter 10 in Judges. Again, the Lord sells Israel. And who does he sell them to? The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines. Are you seeing the connection here? The two things to point out. Number one, God just sells them, and he doesn't get a very good price for them. After all, what are we getting for the $85 billion worth of hardware we're leaving in Afghanistan? Zip, nada. We're not getting jack. We sold it for nothing. We gave it away. And so when the Lord says he's selling Israel because of its evil, he's not getting anything in return either. It's basically a gift. I'll sell this to you for nothing. Zero down and no payments. And who does he give the nation into every single time on these three occasions in Judges, just like in 1 Kings? They're all foreigners. from because of the sin within, the judgment comes from without, and it becomes within. It's what happened with 9/11. It's happened with various other terror attacks inside this country. The sin is within. And so the judgment actually comes from without into this country. Now, there's a passage I didn't think of. I should have had it up. I didn't, but it's in, I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy that says that when the men of Israel would perform their functions before the Lord and keep the feasts and things, in other words, if they're obedient to God, that's the point. When the men were obedient to God, he would cause the foreigners to stay at bay. He would protect the country. He basically said, when you go up to Jerusalem for your feasts, don't worry about your borders. I will protect your borders if you do what I tell you to. And because we don't have that, then we end up with what we have. And what do we need? I mean, this is why I'm toying with running for office again. I've never succeeded. Not since, what, junior high, I think it was. But why don't we have politicians that will just get up there and say, you know, when a man puts on the clothing of a woman, it's an abomination to God. Let everybody scream, ah, you're homophobic. You know what? They're common-sensophobic. They're brainophobic. I don't care what people say. Just let the word fall where it is. It's their problem. If they wail and tear their clothes in half and gnash their teeth and foam at the mouth, who cares? It's what the devil does when he animates people, and that's what the people are going to do when they get all ticked off because they can't stand the word of God. I mean, that's just the way they are. So what do? We want to try to like them. We want to be Democrats light. We don't want to really be stand up for righteousness. We don't want to sit tall in the saddle. We don't want to ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. We want to be liked. It says in Acts, New King James Version says, you are constrained by your affections. We don't do and say what we should do and say because we're afraid of who we're going to tick off. I no longer, and haven't for some time, give a rat's rear end about who I offend as long as I don't offend God. Don't care. Let the chips fall where they may. We don't have that. We don't have that thick spine person running for office. We don't have a men and women who are standing up and saying, this is what God said, people, and let people wail and gnash their teeth. Well, you're going to mix God and religion? Well, woe unto you if you don't bring God into the equation. Let's just have a certain recipe for disaster. Do you know that if a Christian campaigned on biblical promises as it relates to the sins of homosexuality and queer adoption and tranny this and abortion and all that, do you know that those Christian candidates would get most of the Muslim votes in this country? They would. The true, not the cultural Muslims, but the ones who actually adhere to their faith, it would be something that resonates closer to what they believe than the secular American. Okay, last thing, I thought I would never, ever, 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 ever say this. I have been against this my whole life, but I'm finally coming to the point where I think, maybe sadly, it is time for term limits. I have never liked them because I thought the problem isn't the candidate. The problem is the people who vote for the moron, for the idiot, for the person with no morals. Like that one Czech journalist, I can't think of his name now. He said, you know, the problem isn't Barack Obama. You're going to get rid of him soon enough. The problem is all the people who voted for him. You can't get rid of them. So, because Republicans have little spine other than saying what's necessary to get reelected, there are some good ones, Tom Cotton, Matt Gaetz. We got a few great ones out there. But most of them don't have a spine. They don't have guts. They're worried about their next election. And maybe it is just simply time, sadly, to clean house. Nancy Pelosi, you can't run anymore. Mitch McConnell, you're done. Chuck Schumer, you're done. You get 2 terms as a senator and 4 terms as a rep. 12 years maximum for a senator, 8 years maximum as a rep. Turn it over. And here's my concern. I don't think it'll change anything. It ends up causing the government, people in government, to rely more on the deep state. That's my deep concern. But right now, I am so frustrated that since the country is not repenting, the short-term solution is throw the bums out, throw the rascals out, start over, and maybe, just maybe, do you think some people, especially on the Republican side, will say and do what's necessary because what? They don't have to worry about being reelected because they're not running for reelection in a few years. They're done in a little while. Maybe they would say what needs to be said. Maybe they would sit tall in the saddle. Maybe they would ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. It's what you got to do. It's what I got to do. Don't worry about who you offend anymore. Just don't offend God. God bless you. See you next week.